This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron McGlynn.
All right, well, we're not even going to have time to mess around here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. We are going to jump right into it here this morning. So here's what we got. This is one that's been on my calendar now for a couple of days. Chief Stephen Sund. Are you guys familiar with the name Stephen Sund? Well, everybody in America should be familiar with the name of Chief Stephen Sund because he was the chief of the United States Capitol Police on January 6th. So you think with all these people and all these news outlets that always wanted to talk about January 6th. I used to point out that, January 6th was like an annual celebration for the Democrats and the liberal media mob. Well, he was the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th, and he has been calling out Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats even more so lately as President Trump is focusing in on the crime in our nation's capital and the daily riots, if that's what you want to call them, that have been taking place in the streets of Washington, D.C. Chief Stephen Sund is going to be with us here in just a few minutes. So we got to jump right into that one here in the early morning hours of the show. And then our producer, Caden, just added another one to the lineup. This one comes thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. This will be right up right here after the first break here this morning. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky meeting with President Donald J. Trump at the White House on Monday. I've got some great highlights from that meeting. But first up, we're going to get immediate kind of a summary and reaction from Ashley Hayek. She is the executive director for America First Works. She's also the wife of a United States Marine Corps veteran. I think they've got several kids as well. So you know she's on her game. So she's going to be with us here first thing. Well, if all goes as planned, sometimes you never know with these early morning hours. Sometimes they have a whole set of interviews with radio stations across the country racked and stacked. But we should be hearing from Ashley Hayek right after this. If not, like I say, we've got a whole bunch of highlights from the President of Peace and more of his peace talks that took place yesterday, Monday, at the White House. And by the way, there were some pretty funny highlights there, too. President Trump showing off his four more years hats to Macron and Zelensky. And then they have the whole group, all these European leaders, Zelensky, President Trump, and they're all lining up for this big photograph. And then President Trump looks over and he starts talking about his Butler, Pennsylvania fight portrait that's hanging large and in charge on the wall. Here's the thing. I'm glad on a couple of fronts. Bigger picture, I'm glad that we do appear to be on the path towards peace with Russia and Ukraine. But also selfishly, I'm also pleased that my prediction yesterday morning came true. I said it yesterday morning. I don't know if this was that hard of a prediction to make, but I don't typically do the predictions, but I did say yesterday. I said, look, I think this meeting with Zelensky today at the White House is going to be a lot more smooth, a lot more nice than the last meeting at the White House with Zelensky. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's exactly, I think if you had to sum it up all the way around, it was a nice day of meetings.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay for the mid-90s in Bozeman to around 100 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear with low temperatures from around 60 in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. And still looking at more sunshine and some more hot weather Wednesday. Low 90s in Bozeman to around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The Department of Defense and its Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as DARPA, have reached a milestone, the christening of the USX-1 Defiant. It's a completely autonomous ship, meaning no humans are on board. In a DARPA video, program manager Greg Avicola says it's a complex project that's been going through a lot of testing.
What can you do with a ship design where you don't have the constraints of the people? The other side of the coin, though, is how do you make it reliable? It's hard enough if there are people there to fix it. And really, the only way you can prove that is by giving it a hard test, giving it a test that requires resilience and endurance.
Avicola says the 180-foot-long Defiant is designed for extended voyages on the open sea. And the Defiant's expected to be able to protect manned ships. Jill Nato, Fox News.
The one big, beautiful bill and what it delivers, not just for America, but for the West in particular, from timber to American energy to agriculture and more. Senator Cynthia Lummis out of Wyoming had a great column, a great write-up at thedailysignal.com. One big, beautiful win for the West. We're going to drill down on all of those issues in the week ahead, and we'll take your phone calls and more with Montana Talks, taking you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, inside baseball here before we get the next conversation going here on the show this morning. I'm trying a new tactic to deal with that echo that you guys were hearing last week. So inside baseball, let me know if you're still hearing that little bit of echo. I know we heard a couple of pops of an echo on the weather report in the last break. So let me know if you're still hearing that echo, and then that'll help us kind of troubleshoot what we're doing here. I was going to send a quick message to Tim out in Savage because I know he's a sportscaster, so he does a great job of helping us troubleshoot some of the audio things as we're playing around with our new equipment here. Okay, yeah, so obviously the big meeting at the White House, not only did you have President Zelensky, but you also had President Trump and all these European leaders, the NATO Secretary General, and more that were at the White House yesterday. We've got Ashley Hayek. I think Caden is sending her through to me on our phone lines right now. So as soon as I get that in here, we will toss it right to her because we've only got like a quick 3, 4, 5 minutes or so here. All right, there we go. We've got Ashley Hayek with us now on the phone lines. Ashley, great to have you on the show. And yeah, your reactions to this big summit yesterday.
Well, thank you so much for having me. President Trump, I think, has proven just once again that he is the only world leader capable of delivering peace. We saw him welcome President Zelensky and top European leaders to the White House. There was 7 who participated. But even go back to Sunday when you had the president be able to walk up and down the stairs. That in and of itself is an accomplishment compared to the previous administration's president. Look President Putin in the eye, shake his hand as B-52 bombers flew overhead and have a meaningful conversation with President Putin. And then 24 hours later, convene this incredible meeting with 7 world leaders to talk about how we accomplish peace. It's something that has not been able to happen. I mean, it didn't happen under the Obama administration. It wasn't able to happen under the Biden administration. And once again, we're seeing President Trump be able to deliver this through meaningful conversation.
That's right. I heard Lindsey Graham last night on with, I think it was Jesse Waters, and he was saying, here's the president coming back from Alaska, his peace summit with Putin. You know, and Alaska's a long haul. I got to go fishing there one. It's a long haul even from Montana, let alone Washington, D.C. And after his meeting with Putin, he calls Lindsey Graham and says, hey, do you want to golf tomorrow? And then, boom, now he's right in, ranked and stacked with a series of meetings with all these European leaders, and he's just a natural peacemaker.
The man doesn't stop. He works harder than anyone for the American people. And it's very clear he's doing this for us. You know, America has invested over $175 billion in this war. There's been close to 1 million lives lost. And President Trump, he truly wants there to be peace, and that was something he campaigned on. He's, in the first 200 days, been delivering promise after promise for the American people, but also for the world. And we even saw 2 of the world leaders yesterday. One was the NATO Secretary General said that things changed just because of President Trump, that he broke the deadlock with Putin by starting the dialogue. And then Finland's president said, I think in the past 2 weeks we've had more progress. ending the war than we have in the past 3.5 years. And we've said that about almost every, whether it's a domestic or international policy issue, since President Trump took office.
Yeah, it's just been absolutely remarkable. I think he's been averaging a peace deal every single month. I'm really pleased that he made the point yesterday. This is not my war. This is Biden's war. And again, going back to what Lindsey Graham had to say, not that I'm one to always quote Lindsey Graham, of course, but he made a great point. President Biden started this war, and President Trump is going to end this war.
Yeah, and we also heard Marco Rubio talk about that over the weekend on the Sunday shows, and talking about who's responsible, and that both parties have to want this, and they have to want to come to the table. A couple of things that I think make this incredibly valuable is the fact that America's economy is, you know, record-breaking earnings surge, market boom, all the things, and people want to do business with us. And so that's a very strong incentive. We saw it with the tariffs. We're seeing it now in these negotiations, that there's every incentive to come to the table and work together. And President Trump has also held the EU accountable, saying you have to put skin in the game too. It's easy to say that, you know, you want to push back on, you know, terrible Putin when you're not putting your money where your mouth is, and America's going to stop footing the bill. And that's something that I really have to give President Trump credit for, because he's always looked out for the interests of the American people first. And that's more than what we've seen in quite some time.
And, of course, you're the executive director for America First Works. If we want to look at this from a Montana First perspective, as we always do back here in Montana, look, unleashing American energy, oil, gas, and especially that beautiful clean coal here in Montana, this is also a key part of this peace equation as well, because what Biden was doing with his anti-American energy agenda was basically bankrolling Putin's funding for the war at the same time. About a minute to go. Ashley Hayek, your thoughts.
I mean, that has also been a priority for President Trump, is unleashing Americans' energy potential, rolling back the egregious radical Green New Deal and climate restrictions that the Biden administration put on Americans, and making sure that we can grow economically and be able to support all of the new innovation. You know, we've offshored our manufacturing, we've offshored so much of our energy, and now it's time to bring that home. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's incredibly exciting, and hopefully it benefits everyone from Montana to Oklahoma to West Virginia to California, if California can even help themselves.
Well, Ashley Hayek, thanks for what you're doing to fight for America. I saw you're the spouse of a United States Marine Corps veteran, so thanks for your sacrifice, your family's sacrifice, and not only serving in the military as a military family, but for continuing to fight for America with America First Works. Such an honor to have you on the show this morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Appreciate your time. Let's see, coming up after the next break here, we've got another one. Usually here in the early morning hours, you know, it's just you, me, and the rest of the crew here BSing, having a good time, talking about the news stories of the day and more. And then sometimes we'll sneak in some interviews later in the day, but we've got another great guest on right after this, Chief Stephen Sund, the former chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. Stand by.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Trump fumed recently at Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for mandating the Senate run time-consuming traps to confirm his nominees. There's lots of Senate talk now about changing the rules to accelerate the confirmation of nominees. One thing is for sure, the Senate will not change the rules to expedite the confirmation process. The Senate boasts 44 standing rules. It takes 67 votes to break a filibuster on an actual rules change. But what Senate Majority Leader John Thune could do is back the Senate into a special parliamentary posture where he can initiate a new precedent to confirm different types of nominees. Only a simple majority is necessary to make good on this gambit for nominees. So it's easier and much more plausible than changing the rules. To the layperson, a new precedent doesn't sound important. But there's a reason why the Senate only has 44 standing rules and a voluminous book of precedents. You can accomplish a lot in the Senate if you're able to concoct a new precedent. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, you guys probably heard me play this audio from Greg Gutfeld on Fox News. He was talking about how the rock band Kiss is set to receive Kennedy Center honors from President Donald J. Trump. Oh, man, the pearl-clutching Kennedy Center crowd is not going to like that. But guess what? More than just Kiss, the incredible George Strait also getting Kennedy Center honors. That and much more. Check out those stories, plus all the great Montana content, MontanaTalks.com, or get the app.
Mom, is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. Know. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. Know by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will stop supporting wind and solar projects on productive farmland. That was announced yesterday by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins while she was in Tennessee.
For the first time under this administration, we are rolling back all of the taxpayer money through the Biden years on solar panels taking over our farmland. So this is a big issue. I keep hearing from farmers, you know, that the beautiful farmland that's basically being taken off the playing field, and with the average age of the farmer at 58, with so many small family farms closing through the years that can't make enough money, we've got to start making real change with a long-term vision. So this announcement this morning was part of that. We're not going to be buying any more components from China, which is obviously a foreign adversary. So
Secretary Rollins made those comments on RFD TV. Since its inception, USDA's Rural Energy for America program has provided over $2 billion for renewable projects, including solar and wind projects. The agency has also supported clean energy projects for the Rural Electrical Cooperative System. This is a developing story that we'll continue to track right here on the Western Ag Network.
Cattle producers, big runs, big country. It's time for Superior Livestock Auctions Bighorn Classic from Sheridan, Wyoming. August 20th through the 22nd, 116,000 head will sell, and sale time is 8 a.m. Mountain Time each day. Now be there in person or watch it all live at SuperiorLivestock.com. Also available on Superior's YouTube channel and Dish Channel 997. Superior Livestock, committed to their buyers and sellers for over 35 years.
You're not just a grower filling acres. You're building yield because you're a wheat grower, which means West Bred Wheat is the seed for you. Regionally proven wheat varieties, tested in your fields and conditions, bred to deliver top yield potential for those prioritizing performance. West Bred is elite wheat seed for elite wheat growers. We're bred differently, just like you. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Returning back this morning to the Western Ag Network, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has issued an order that confirmed a reporting exemption for air emissions from the natural breakdown of animal waste at a farm or ranch. The court affirmed that the reporting exemption under the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, issued by the Environmental Protection Agency in June of 2019, is appropriate because of the relationship between the reporting mandates under the EPCRA and the Comprehensive Emergency Response, Compensation, and Liability Act, also known as the Federal Superfund Law. The decision comes more than 20 years after poultry groups formally requested that EPA exempt poultry farms from the requirement to report the emission of ammonia under the rules. The ruling comes after a coalition of environmental groups filed a motion for summary judgment challenging the exemption. U.S. Poultry, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, pork producers, American Farm Bureau, and others intervened in the lawsuit on EPA's behalf. Speaking of poultry and utilizing waste, Auburn University has recently developed new methods for safely using poultry processing wastewater for food-grade hydroponic crop production. By eliminating pathogens like salmonella, the research team was able to use wastewater from a poultry processing plant to grow romaine lettuce safe for human consumption. The breakthrough promises not only a cost-effective means for irrigating crops with poultry byproduct water, but also better water conservation. That's a look at our ag news here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, what an honor to be joined here live this morning by the former chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. He was a D.C. police officer for over 25 years prior to that, Chief Stephen's son. I got a chance to see him on with Tucker Carlson a while back. I should have gone back and watched that interview once again, but what an honor to catch up with Chief Stephen's son here this morning live on Montana Talks. Chief, thanks for your service, thanks for your sacrifice, and thanks for speaking the truth and speaking out when the truth faith matters, you know, even more than ever, it seems like, these days. Great to have you on the show.
My pleasure, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, let's see, where should we start? Maybe should we start with you? You used to be a D.C. police officer. You know the crime on the streets of D.C. Even the police union is now speaking out about how the political leadership in Washington, D.C. is forcing them to try to fudge the statistics to make it look like the crime isn't as bad as it really is.
It's shaming that it's that way, and you're right. I've spent 25 years on the streets of Washington, D.C. I've apprehended homicide suspects. I've gone to the most heinous crimes you could imagine. I've been shot at on the streets. These people that are complaining about this initiative, they're just detached from reality. We've done these type of initiatives before. We've done Safe Streets. We've done summer crime initiatives where we bring in federal resources, our partners, FBI, ATF, DEA, everyone has their role. We bring in the National Guard to help lighten neighborhoods so kids can play. It's stuff that's been done before. But because this is being invoked by President Trump, it's all bad. The citizens, I talk to residents of D.C. I talk to D.C. cops regularly still. The D.C. cops appreciate the support. They're 800 officers short. And the citizens, and especially the citizens in the high crime areas, they greatly appreciate the support. So it's sad that people's lives and safety are being politicized.
Wow, that's fascinating to hear about how this has been done before. But, oh, now that Trump does it, it's bad. How many times have we seen that play out over and over again? I want to get right to it here as well. You were the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th, and you started speaking out and telling the truth pretty early on. On this show that very week, you know, thankfully, because we read good sources of information like The Federalist and some of these other great publications that focus on telling the truth, we could see exactly what was playing out. We knew that on January 6th, Donald Trump wanted more National Guard troops there to protect the Capitol. He called on the D.C. mayor. He called on, and, you know, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, basically was in charge of Capitol security through her appointees, and she basically stood in the way of more security, but yet she wanted to blame Trump for January 6th, and eventually it forced you out as well.
That's correct. In the press conference she held the very next day, within 24 hours of the attack at the riot at the Capitol, she held a press conference where she blamed Trump for the people coming down there and blamed me by name for allowing the riot to breach the Capitol and forced my resignation. I got stripped out of there, got stripped of my retirement. But what people didn't realize, and I appreciate you saying about me pushing the truth, I fought to testify in February 2021 and was finally allowed to testify before the Joint Senate Committee, and I've pushed the truth ever since. When people say Speaker Pelosi doesn't play a role in security on Capitol Hill, they need to look at Law 2 U.S. 1970. It says specifically, for me as the Capitol Chief of Capitol Police to bring in any federal resources, I have to go to the Capitol Police Board, which are all politically appointed people. One of those is Pelosi Sergeant-at-Arms. And they then have to get the Capitol Police Board has to get concurrence from leadership, which Speaker Pelosi is part of leadership. She's, you know, the Speaker at the time. January 3rd, I went twice requesting National Guard assistance. I was denied twice on January 3rd. The Pentagon even called over Carol Corbin, the program director that provides National Guard support to civil authorities, called and said, are you guys going to be requesting National Guard? I had to deny it. I had to say no, because by law, I wasn't given the authority. And then on January 6th, once the riot gets out of hand and they start trying to breach the Capitol, for 71 minutes, I'm repeatedly denied 11 times. It took me 11 phone calls to the House Sergeant-at-Arms, Speaker Pelosi, Sergeant-at-Arms, to finally get approval. So when she says she doesn't play a role, that's ridiculous.
And then this documentary comes out where she is on camera basically admitting that she is at fault for what happened, essentially, in her own documentary that her daughter filmed that or whatever. And so last week, I think it was last week on the show, we actually quoted you because you spoke out on X about just the hypocrisy. Here we go again. Nancy Pelosi again crawls out from under that same rock, and here she is, the same Nancy Pelosi who denied National Guard resources to protect the Capitol on January 6th, is now big mad that President Trump is using National Guard and other federal law enforcement resources to help secure the streets of Washington, D.C. It's like deja vu all over again.
Absolutely, and I don't post a lot on X, But when I saw that, and this is the second time I've had to correct her. I'm not looking for an argument for her, but I am looking to correct the misconception and state the truth. She came out. She blamed him for the delay of National Guard. I set her straight, and that's been viewed 5 million-plus times. It shows that people still want to know the truth, and they deserve to absolutely know the truth about what went on. And I can tell you, as far as this crime initiative, you're right when we were talking about it. If it was any other mayor, if the mayor had asked for this, she'd be lauded as a hero. But because it comes from the White House, it's all villainous.
Yeah, Chief Stephen Sund, if you want to stick around with us, you probably got to run at our next break here in a couple of minutes. But if you want to stick around after that, I'd love to keep the conversation going here. What do you think the American people need to know right now? What do you want to tell them? You got the microphone.
Let's see. We can look at two different aspects. As far as crime, you know, crime needs to be controlled. People being victimized, when they victimize you, they control you. You don't be a victim of crime. You vote the right people in place to help protect your communities. Your family deserves it. The community deserves it. And it's a shame that it's being politicized in this fashion. There's no reason. We're one of the most advanced countries in the world that we can't control crime and create safe neighborhoods, especially in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. So that'd be number one. And then number two, there's a lot of stuff that people don't realize about January 6th. The truth that behind the scenes, what happened, you know, it's sad. And again, here we are 4.5 years later, almost 5 years later, and Barry Loudermilk just got approved to continue the January 6th investigation. I think more will come out. December 17, 2024, I'm a handful of people in the history of the United States that was exonerated by Congress in one of the reports. So I'm thankful for that. It hasn't gotten the retirement or what I lost as a result of Nancy Pelosi demanding my resignation. But I'm hoping that eventually that may change.
Well, Chief, thanks so much for speaking out. Thanks so much for speaking the truth. An honor to have you on this show. Thanks for your time this morning. Like I say, if you can stick around and want to join us for a few more minutes, feel free. We'd be honored to have you. But I understand you probably got to run as well. So we understand if you got to take off. All right, we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Either we'll get back to the chief after this, or we've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Back after this.
Hi, on the road.
Out here, in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Stress builds up, you have trouble sleeping, maybe your mind is racing and you just don't feel like yourself. So what do? We get help. Lots of people are struggling with their mental health. It's more common than you think. The good news is, there are people in our community who are here for us when times are tough. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world, so we don't feel so alone. One thing you can do is visit loveyourmindtoday.org for simple steps you can take to find the right solution for you. Whether it's hearing stories about what other people are going through, or finding the resources we need to navigate the stresses in our lives. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and, like, listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I'll be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it, and it's just hard on both of us. But, you know, try to understand me more, and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, Chief Sund is able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here, a quick few minutes, and then we'll jump into your phone calls if you want to get racked and stacked in the queue here, 406-294-0970. Hey, also, if you have a quick question or comment for Chief Sund, send me a very quick message on the Montana Talks app, and I'll try to sneak it in here before we run out of time. Chief Sund, I'm glad you're able to stick around, because I did want to mention that, man, if you ever do speaking engagements, I know there are listeners who are members of clubs and organizations, whether it's pro-law enforcement, patriotic, or even Lincoln Reagan dinner crowds, who would probably love to have you come speak and tell the truth on January 6th and D.C. crime and so much more. And so I talked with the chief during the break. If you go to his X account, at Chief Sund, S-U-N-D, his email is there. But Chief, you've also got a book that's out called Courage Under Fire, and you were telling me how you're constantly making updates to this book, and so that's why you recommend the paperback, because it's easier to make the updates to the paperback. What are some of the newest additions you've made to your book, Courage Under Fire?
Oh boy, let's see, lots of stuff. And again, I never planned on writing a book. If you asked me 5 years ago, I'd tell you now I'm never going to write a book. I started doing an after-action report when January 6th, when I started seeing what was happening with the January 6th, I just started doing an after-action report, and it turned into this book that gives you a minute-by-minute account of what exactly I was dealing with on January 6th. I would say a couple of key things. I think you mentioned the Tucker Carlson interview at the very beginning of this. Your viewers may not know about it, and again, it just goes into the whole, when people start thinking conspiracy theories, it gets really interesting. When Tucker Carlson was fired from Fox News, look at whose interview was supposed to show that day. It was my interview. And Fox would never release that interview. So it just goes hand in hand. So that we talk about that. We talk about true to form. Tucker said he was going to redo the interview, and he certainly did. And it turned out to be a very good interview, one of his best, so he says. He actually endorsed the book. Tucker Carlson endorsed it. Chairman Barry Loudermilk, who's the current chairman of the investigative committee for January 6th, referred to it as the definitive after action of January 6th. I would say that. I would say, let's see, what happened with some of the people that within my own agency that seem to have withheld intelligence from me, kind of what happened to them. I don't want to ruin it, but it's really interesting. It just adds, again, to the more conspiracy, because some people ended up in very, very good lucrative jobs right outside of Nancy Pelosi's district in California. So it just adds to that. The exoneration that came out December 17th came out after the latest version, so that'll go into maybe the next one. But there's so much information. I could talk about that for hours, but there's a lot of information in there for January 6th. It's got really good reviews. So I think if people want to know more of the truth, they can look it up there.
How much involvement was there of, say, you know, what our listeners would refer to as deep state operatives? And do you think that the deep state operatives had people planted in there deliberately to try to provoke the riots that occurred on January 6th?
It's not hard to think that, especially when you see, you know, individuals. We had the one individual down by the White House, Ray Epps, who was down there seen telling people you got to get into the Capitol, and then he's seen right outside, right before the riot occurred at 12:53, he's videotaped whispering in a protester's ear, and then that protester literally less than a minute later is swinging, fighting one of my officers, tearing down the barricades. Yet he goes on, I think it was 60 Minutes, and says, oh, I was telling that protester, these officers are our friends, don't hurt them. Well, if you're telling that protester that, and you're seeing other protesters next to them getting agitated and aggressive, why are you whispering and covering your mouth and not yelling at all of them? So, you know, I don't buy that. So when you look at, again, I'm hearing a lot of people say there's a lot of brand new Trump gear being worn by people in the crowd, a lot of brand new hats. And I had one person say something that I thought was kind of interesting. Is, you know, I've never been to a Trump rally where I saw people carrying skateboards. I thought that was kind of interesting. So it probably wouldn't be much to have people begin to think that. I really, it's sad that that's the case. But you know, how we got to this division in the country, again, just because of all this political rhetoric you're seeing out there, it's terrible.
Well, I, you know, real time, here I am doing a radio talk show in Montana, and you gotta talk about this stuff. There's no time to sit down and think about it and react. It's like we're reacting in real time, and we were getting real-time reports from Montanans that were back then. They said, hey, everybody here is peaceful. Everybody here is not going into the Capitol. But we had a report from one guy out of Missoula who said, I'm seeing busloads of some weird people showing up. And boy, man, we mentioned that on the radio, and the left and the Democrats in Montana went into all-out freak-out mode when we talked that week about how Nancy Pelosi and Mariel Bowser were rejecting additional guard troops. They wanted to silence and suppress all that information like it was Hunter Biden's laptop. It was absolutely crazy. Chief Sund, I greatly appreciate your time. I know you probably got to run, but if you want to share more, feel free. The mic is yours.
Yeah, I just say there's so many different things that people just need the correct answers on. One thing, and I'll talk to your listeners really quick about, is a lot of people bring up where they're like seeing some police officers waving people in. You see, the one is a female police officer, looks like she's waving, and then you see the crowd coming up over the hill like she's waving them toward the Capitol. When I couldn't get approval from my sergeant at arms to bring in federal resources, I started calling every chief of police I knew and activated mutual aid. So 17 law enforcement agencies responded. The New Jersey State Police responded from New Jersey. And they're not on the same radio zone. So she was waving at a number of other law enforcement agencies, telling them, hey, we're falling back into the Capitol, and telling them that is what was going on. So that was one aspect that I've explained to people. She wasn't waving at the protesters. She was waving at other police. And then a lot of people bring up the one officer that's standing there as people are literally walking by him at the door. I've actually talked to that officer, and the officer's his response was, what am I supposed to do? You know, I stand at the door every day. People come by. Somebody took a selfie with him. He goes, it's one of me, and there's dozens of people coming through that door. There's nothing I could have done. I just stood my post. So, you know, people have this misconception that we're opening doors and letting people in. That's not the case that I've come across. But it's, again, you know, when you hear about some of the delays, some of the issues that we face, it's not hard for people to think that.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting insight as well. We've got a retired federal law enforcement officer that actually joins me every Tuesday later in the morning, John Jackson, the Joker from X. And I remember when that topic came up in real time, he also, as a law enforcement officer, was saying, look, hey, put yourselves in these law enforcement officers' shoes. You're trying to defuse, de-escalate a situation. And so he kind of, you know, shared basically what you covered for us right there. Chief Sund, could I throw one more question at you?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. But again, greatly appreciate all your time here this morning. Chief Steven Sund, the former chief of the Capitol Police. You can find him on X at Chief Sund. And his email is there. If you want to book him to come out and speak here in Montana or do a book signing or something like that, I'd love to see him here in Montana myself. The current chief of the D.C. police, you spent more than 25 years in the D.C. police before the Capitol Police. Apparently she was like the chief diversity officer for the D.C. police and then becomes the chief. I mean, don't we need like the actual, you know, cops that have run the actual beat that actually know the streets to be in charge of the police?
Especially an agency like D.C. Police, and you're right. So Chief Pam Smith had previously been with the United States Park Police. She'd been, I think, San Francisco, New York, and then in Washington, D.C. For, I guess, the last part of her career. And you're right. She was initially hired over there under the previous chief to be the, I think the title was Chief Equity Officer, and was in that position for a little while before Mayor Bowser made her chief when Robert Conte, the former chief, had retired. You know, from what I'm hearing from other officers, they really need somebody that has been out on the streets, that understands urban crime, and can relate to the officers a little bit better. Morale is terrible there right now. One, they're low on staff. They're not getting backing from the city council. City council's passing anti-police, pro-crime legislation, like the Youth Rehabilitation Act and the Second Chance Act. So the police are being beaten down, and they don't feel they have a real strong leader right now.
Another quick one for you here real fast, because we got a break in about a minute. But Chief Steven Sund, Evan in Belt just messaged us. What do you know about the pipe bomb at the DNC headquarters that day?
The two pipe bombs. So there's two pipe bombs. One occurred before the riot got out of hand over at the RNC, and the second one was at the DNC. There lies one of the biggest puzzle pieces out there. I think when they find out who planted those, that's going to be key. And they have videotape of the person back there. They have a videotape of the person using their cell phone, and usually you can track that, but there seems to be an issue with the cell phone data. It's the most secure area of Washington, D.C., that you can imagine, and we can't solve that crime. We can't solve who planted those pipe bombs. That's ridiculous. I think when they do finally do that, and I'm hoping that that's going to be one of the big focus of the current January 6th committee under Chairman Loudermilk, they're going to continue to focus and press on the pipe bomb. That is going to be a huge puzzle piece when that comes out, because I believe that was not that was put there as a diversionary tactic to take some officers away from the West Front.
There's much more to that story, is the bottom line, it seems.
Yes,
Chief,
sir.
Chief Sun, what an honor. Thanks for your service. Thanks for joining us. We got to get you out to Montana. Thanks for being with us.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Great Barry Farber. He said, there's never been a country in the history of mankind that has accumulated more power and abused it less than the United States of America. And I add to that, there's never been a country in the history of mankind that has accumulated more power and used it to advance the good of mankind more than the United States. The country that gains the least out of all of this is our country. It's not like we're doing this for some financial windfall, although we're going to have some type of territorial gain out of any of this. The president keeps emphasizing again and again that he wants the killing to stop.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, did you hear that Florida just legalized gold and silver? Yep, my new home state, the free state of Florida, has made it legal to use gold and silver as money. Now, Governor DeSantis explained it all by saying, this is our ability to give you the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar. This is exactly why I partnered with a top precious metals company myself. If you want to learn more about how gold and silver can help protect your money, if you want to inform yourself, do your due diligence, reach out to my partners at Goldco. They're a great company. I'm a customer. They've helped me out tremendously. Check them out on the web, HannityGold.com, or call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Get their free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. That's 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay from the mid-90s in Bozeman to around 100 in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear with low temperatures from around 60 in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. And still looking at more sunshine and some more hot weather Wednesday. Low 90s in Bozeman, around 100 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The one big beautiful bill and what it delivers, not just for America, but for the West in particular, from timber to American energy to agriculture and more. Senator Cynthia Lummis out of Wyoming had a great column, a great write-up at thedailysignal.com. One big beautiful win for the West. We're going to drill down on all of those issues in the week ahead, and we'll take your phone calls and more with Montana Talks, taking you statewide right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Voters have negative views of Democrats and Republicans. But just because they're down on both major political parties doesn't automatically mean smooth sailing for a new one. Our Fox News survey finds more than 4 in 10 voters believe third-party candidates are usually less qualified. 6 in 10 see them as spoilers who distract from the real choices. And 7 in 10 think the U.S. political system is rigged against third-party candidates. Still, A majority agrees with the view that third parties are desperately needed because the Democratic and Republican parties are failing to address voter concerns. And more than half, 53%, think it would be a good idea if a third national political party were formed that would run candidates for president and Congress. But support isn't automatic. Three quarters say they'd be unlikely to back a candidate from a party started by Elon Musk. Sail over to our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Puri.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wow, what a great conversation there with Chief Stevens' son. Big thanks to Evan and Belt for sending us that message on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, because, you know, if I was a little more prepared, if I wasn't running around like crazy yesterday and didn't have 4 hours of radio to knock out and a bunch of other things to prepare for, I would have gone back and listened to that full interview that Tucker Carlson did with the former chief of the Capitol Police before we got a chance to catch up with him here today. Because so many questions, right? So many questions that we raised that week. So many facts that we shared that week back on that day, January 6th. And man, yeah, I remember it was like the COVID propaganda. It was just like, for those of you, raise your hand if you were on X, or it was still Twitter at the time, of course. Raise your hands if you were on Twitter back in 2020 and then into 2021. And raise your hands if you were on Twitter during the BLM riots that occurred, the BLM protests that took place in Montana. Raise your hands if you were on Twitter when, you know, the Democrat governor at the time, Steve Bullock, was jeopardizing rural health care facilities with his vaccine mandates and with his lockdowns and shutting down school sports. And who was speaking? Raise your hands if you were speaking up and you were speaking out against it. I remember when, you guys remember when, now I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. You guys remember when Christine Noem, who's now the Secretary of Homeland Security, remember the first kind of big COVID outbreak that they had in South Dakota was at a meatpacking plant. And the Democrats in Montana were like, oh, yeah, Christine Noem. Oh, see, that's why you need to be locking down your states and doing mandates like what Steve Bullock is doing. And the Democrats, they were all in on the lockdowns. They were all in on the mandates. And their approach failed. It was an absolute failure. The states that stayed free, the states that stayed open, the Floridas, the counties that stayed open, the counties that stayed free. Flathead County, look at Flathead County compared to Glacier County. Glacier County lockdowns were insane, and people followed them. Flathead County was getting attacked because they were more free. And look at the numbers. Who did better at the end of the day when it came to COVID numbers? Flathead County. And just like January 6th, but boy, I tell you, if you were like me and you were one of the few that actually spoke up online, especially about this BS in real time while it was happening, they would try to pummel you. They would try to intimidate you. They would try to get your show canceled. They would try to get sponsors and advertisers of your show canceled. They would go out there and try to intimidate radio stations from carrying your show. But we stood tall and we didn't get intimidated by these clowns. Because we knew that we stood for truth. Same thing with the Russia hoax. Same thing with January 6th. And that's why I bring up COVID, because January 6th, it was the same stinking thing that whole week long. They were mad that we interviewed Montanans who were there just to stand in support of Trump peacefully on that day. They were mad that I interviewed, I think it was Sam Redfern out of Missoula, who called in and said, hey, he was the one who said, hey, there's people showing up on buses. There's Antifa-looking types that are here. There's agitators that are here. What did you just hear from the chief of the Capitol Police that week, that day? Yeah, there were some shady characters showing up. You don't see skateboards at Trump rallies, right? Same thing we were talking about that very week. Pelosi and Mayor Bowser and the Democrats denying National Guard security resources for the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Dennis Prager wrote a column at TheFederalist.com that week calling it the Reichstag fire, that the Democrats wanted it to happen. The Democrats allowed it to happen so that they could capitalize off of it. It's like that great caller, that great message that I received on this show dealing with COVID-19. It was a listener in Miles City who used the Latin phrase, qui bono. Who benefits? Cui bono, who benefited from COVID-19? Joe Biden and the Democrats and the communist Chinese, you might say. Cui bono, who benefited from January 6th? The Democrats. The very Democrats that denied the resources to secure the Capitol that day. Chief Stevenson once again confirmed, you and me, we stood for truth. And they tried to shut us down.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.